This is Mayor Rick Christman inviting you to stay tuned to the St. Pete City Hall broadcast from RadioSt.Pete.com. The City Hall broadcast is a podcast designed to give you an informal look inside your city government. Here is your host, Will Kuntz.
Hello, folks. Welcome to the City Hall podcast. Thank you, Kevin, for that. My name is Will Kuntz. I'm the host of this show. Here with Kevin King, Ben Kirby, and the good Dr. Kanika Tomlin. How are you?
I'm great, thanks. How are you?
You got that mic. Well, you got a booming voice.
I do have a booming voice. Are we rolling?
We are. This
down
is
the
actually
street.
The program right here.
Got it.
I thought Ben and I get a little time.
Yeah, I thought we had a little playtime at the beginning before the guest.
They haven't had me as a guest before, clearly.
It's true.
We have a cool guest.
Can Kevin and I leave now?
Yeah, you guys
are we excused?
No, please stay.
Okay.
What's going on, guys? How you doing? It's a weird energy in this room today. Everybody seems a little flustered. What's going on?
No, we're good.
The boss is right here, Will.
Yeah.
Capital B.
We're being judged.
We have a guest that needs no introduction, but we will introduce her.
Be careful of that B word around me.
What's going on in the city?
Okay, before we get to Dr. Tomlin, everything's good still from last time. We're dealing with, there's some Zika in the air, you know?
I heard that, yeah, that's a little scary.
And somewhere in Pinellas County, the mayor has tapped our assistant fire chief, Dean Adamidis is his name,
mm-hmm.
to be a liaison with the county and the state, keep our residents informed.
Last I heard, they weren't sure if this was a Pinellas County case or if this was one that was a travel case. Is that confirmed that it's Pinellas County?
Ben may know more on that.
The governor, the governor's office told us that it was basically there wasn't a travel case, that it was somebody who lives here and contracted it here
and not through sexual contact. So transmit it from a mosquito.
That's frightening. These mosquitoes are already out of hand. What are we going to do to fight these skeeters?
Well,
what's the plan? Is there a plan?
Well, I don't know about a plan. There's a bunch of plans. But first of all, the county is taking care of mosquito abatement, I guess, if you will. So that's a county job.
Yeah, the county's in charge of mosquito control.
We've been talking a lot about C-Click Fix, Kevin, mm-hmm. which you can talk a lot about as well. But C-Click Fix is an app, and it's a social media platform. You download C-Click Fix on your phone right now. If you see standing water or other issues where you think that might cause a problem, where mosquitoes might breed and grow, you can take a picture of it, can send it to the city, and then we send a crew out and take care of it. So it's just one part of the Zika fight.
Yeah. Have you heard about this? This is kind of weird, but didn't they invent genetically modified mosquitoes to take on these things? Did you hear anything about this? This might have been just something I scrolled through on the internet one time, but I think it was like Monsanto or something made these mosquitoes that they go out and they can't breed or something, and then they attack the other ones. I don't know. Nobody heard anything about
sounds
this.
Like the beginning of a bad.
That sounds like the beginning
film.
Of Terminator.
I might be onto something here. If nobody's heard this, maybe I just made it up. Could be.
It could be.
It's possible.
Biogenetic mitigation.
You've been prone to doing that.
Yes. Yeah. Not anymore. I stopped that a long time ago.
Can't make it, fake it.
Yeah. True. So what else? Any good news? We got killer mosquitoes.
Zika's okay. I mean, that's not necessarily good news, but we're.
It's well in hand, though. You know,
well
I think that's really
right.
important.
That's right. Residents shouldn't worry. There's not a, widespread issue anywhere. Good news. We and Deputy Mayor will talk about this. We're about a week or two ago, and I think we mentioned it briefly on the last program. But we're still celebrating our first round of. Grants that we've done to the community as part of our community redevelopment area, South St. Pete, which is a very good news story, and the deputy mayor will go into a little more depth on. I mean, things are good.
Well, we're getting into September, and September is a busy time around St. Pete. It's when we celebrate the arts. We celebrate the arts every day, but St. Pete Festival kicks up full gear in September.
That's a good segue. If you haven't listened to the Wayne Atherholt episode,
go check that out.
That's
right.
On Radio St. Pete or on Homemade Broadcast.
Yeah, you can find it on hmbradio.com or the Radio St. Pete Archive.
That was a really good show, I thought.
That was fun.
Wayne went in depth on the arts and how the month of September is going to be another celebration this year.
Yeah,
that was a good one. Yeah. I noticed you guys dodged my email, too, about going and getting drinks and hanging out.
Did we dodge? I think that one
was there. Was there an email?
I sent an email saying, you know, I know you guys, but I don't really know
you. No, we'll do that sometime.
No, it's okay. It's cool,
I'm just
man.
Saying, City Hall never sleeps. And that's so these guys are always on the job. There's no drinking on the job, so there's no drinking.
It's a good point.
Happening among these men.
I understand. I'm not too upset about it. I did cry for 15 minutes, but then I'm a man, so I pulled myself up and moved on with my life.
No, I think we will definitely get together for a beer or not, but definitely one of the two.
Sure. That sounds good. That's a plan. All right, you guys done?
Yes.
Should we introduce our guest?
Yes.
I think we should introduce our guest.
Today's guest is Deputy Mayor Dr. Kanika Tomlin. Welcome to the program, dear.
Thank you. I am so glad to be here.
Are you?
Sure. Absolutely.
You're in for a treat, you know. I'm sure you hang out with these guys quite often, so it's nice for me to meet you. I know a little bit about you through talking to Mayor Kreisman and
what'd he say
on the show. He was like, "She's a tough cookie, but I like her style." And that's exactly what he said.
That's a direct quote.
You know that's a quote.
Not a cake or a pie.
That's right. So tell us about your, what do you do here? Like, let's say I'm thinking in my head, Mayor Rick has some bad shellfish, needs a day off.
Nope,
that's not it? You don't take over throughout the day?
No.
You wouldn't do that?
My busiest days are when the mayor is here because we work in partnership. I mean, we're all working to really execute his vision, and I work in partnership with him to strategically advance our city toward its goals. And that's everything from budget management, you know, to personnel management, to this. Whatever it takes to get it done, because we're a huge city. There are 256,000 of us living here and so many other thousands coming to work and play. And so it takes a visionary like Rick Kreisman to get it done and a big team around him to make it happen.
I want to go in on that a little bit more if I could. Back in the day, we had sort of 10 years ago, starting with, I think, Mayor Baker in 2001, maybe before that as well. We had multiple deputy mayors who oversaw subject matter areas and were subject matter experts. So we'd have a deputy mayor of neighborhoods or a deputy mayor of South St. Pete or education or economy or economic development. So we had three or four deputy mayors at one point. Mayor Kreisman, especially with all the stuff that was facing us as a city when he took office, lots of really big, high-profile projects, decided that he wanted one deputy mayor who was empowered to be a citywide leader and not just focus on one area. And so he's had a great partner in Dr. Tomlin, who has, you know, is sort of a community treasure to begin with and has only... You'll be one.
I don't know why that brought forth laughter.
Wow.
When he asked her to be deputy mayor, a lot of people were like, this is the most amazing hire. Great presence already in the community and has been a tremendous asset to the administration.
And so it's not like a president-vice president thing?
No. We've had deputy mayors in the past, but certainly, you know, they have a great relationship both as mayor and deputy mayor and as friends. But, you know, she's the Veep in some regard.
Yeah, I work to extend his reach.
Yeah.
You know, he's one man, he can't be everywhere, and we're a good team.
And her background, she had a great business background, she's really run point on the budget in the city and making sure that every dollar that's spent in the city aligns with the strategic pathways that we've asked all of staff to make sure they expend money in an appropriate way. Our priorities align with our vision. So she makes sure that she sits in every line item review for the budget and has done an awesome job.
Right on.
Thank you.
Healthy St. Pete, Innovation District.
Theoretically.
Yep.
Has some bad shellfish.
Well, remember,
you're stepping in as the mayor for the day.
He's Jewish, by the way.
He's not
so
even eating.
Pork was going to be my next example. We're going to skip that. Undercooked chicken.
He's
right?
reformed.
Your mayor for the day.
Well, you know, the way that it goes, I mean, our mayor is really working to create, national relevance and even global understanding of our city. And so there are times that our mayor is not here without being sick. There are times that he's not here being an ambassador for our city in a very purposeful way. The third leg, if you will, of our senior administration stool is Gary Cornwell. And the city's charter actually prescribes that in the mayor's absence, our city administrator functions in that capacity while he's gone. Mm-hmm. But our deal is more one of partnership where we have a seamless transition through that level of leadership, just doing whatever it takes to get it done.
See, I'm glad you're saying this, because I think people are like me. I thought you were the vice president of St. Pete, but that's really not the case.
Yeah.
Do you ever go sit in this chair?
No.
Why not?
I have my own chair. It's actually much nicer.
Is it more cushy?
Yeah.
All right. So give us a rundown about you. Give us your a little mini biography.
I was born and raised right here in St. Pete. I'm the fifth generation of my family to call the city home. So my kids are the sixth. Accounts for a lot of my love of this awesome place. I am a strategist by training. I've worked in healthcare and journalism for most of my career. Done a lot of different things and happy to be doing this. This is my first kind of entree into the public sector. I've worked a lot with government relations, but never as a public servant. So this has been a great journey, a cool adventure.
Did I read you did broadcasting too?
I did do broadcasting.
Did you do TV or radio?
I did TV and radio.
Oh, okay. You're an old Wiley vet.
She did. She spent time in Louisville.
Uh-huh. I did.
And
on air.
Wave 3 TV.
Yeah. Oh, wow, cool.
Yeah, I worked at the Times. I worked at the Palm Beach Post. I worked at WRXB, 1590 AM.
Just doing political talk or.
Doing jazz.
Oh, smooth jazz.
This was my jazz voice. You're listening to the Jazz Crusade with Kanika Devon.
Oh, you had a radio name too, huh?
Yeah.
Did the whole radio name, radio voice, the whole
deal. Yeah,
I like that. Did they teach you to do that in broadcasting school? To
put on
a different voice? Hey, folks, how you doing?
They did, because,
shuffle the papers around.
That's right. People, they want to feel like they're being spoken to by someone who's been trained to do it.
I hate that. I hate the radio voice.
Wow.
You have a good radio voice, though.
This is just my voice.
Always sound like that?
This is me.
I have you down. You notice that?
Yeah. You just,
hello, folks.
Hello, folks. Yeah.
Oh.
Is that
Will or Barack Obama?
That's my best impersonation.
Hello,
I like to combine the two. That is actually a radio voice. And that is kind of I do that on my show as well.
Yeah, I heard
it's
I kind of just to it.
A, great.
I am your listener.
Oh, wow. Cool. Yeah. I got my mom and Kevin King.
Yes.
That's great.
And your mom, Janet.
Karen. Wow. You're really dropping the ball here today.
Karen's.
So what made you want to get into local politics?
I love the city. I'm not a politician. I'm just doing what I can to give back to the city that's given so much to me. So it's awesome. Rick Kreisman is the right guy for the job at the right time. There are amazing things happening here. And with the right leadership, it was kind of the possibilities were exponential. And so I was just honored to be asked. Of course I would do it, because this is an awesome place.
So did you know him previously? This is not a job where you can I'm going to go into City Hall and put in my resume.
I'm going to apply for Deputy Mayor.
No,
it's a principal appointment, right? And so...
I don't know.
Yeah,
this is
it
what
is.
I'm asking.
It is. And so it's built from years of relationships, not only with the mayor, but the good people who surround him and the people who, share his vision and can get it done.
How long have you known the mayor beforehand?
Maybe a decade.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Right on.
Yeah.
So tell me about this, the community redevelopment area.
The South St. Pete Community Redevelopment
yes,
Area
correct.
Is one of our initiatives about which we are most proud. It's a 30-year plan to redefine poverty in South St. Petersburg. So in 2011, the county did a poverty study, identified five zones of poverty in Pinellas County, the areas that are most stricken by blight. and Poverty Zone 5 was right in the heart of St. Petersburg. Covers a pretty expansive area and really shone a light on generational poverty, which was on no trajectory to change. Despite significant investment that's been made at all levels of government, city, county, federal, state, lots of infrastructure, good things done to make it look pretty, but people's lives, the quality of people's lives, the people who live there and call it home, was not changing. And so leaders here, city leaders, county leaders, went to work to figure out what can we do to make that picture different, what can really change it. We're fortunate to have the benefit of tax increment financing as a tool, where it's a subsidy where money, tax revenues, incremental tax revenues are restricted to a certain geography for reinvestment for a specified amount of time. And so the thought is, let's take those monies, reinvest and rebuild that area through a very focused strategic plan. And we're calling it the Southside Community Redevelopment Area, the CRA.
So it's a 30-year plan. How does it work when, you know, you're only limited by a certain term limit here? So how do you have maybe future leaders invest in this plan?
Well, it's that's a good question.
It's a great question.
It's a great question.
Planning. We're trying to plant. God, you're good, man.
I know.
We're trying to plant seeds that are sustainable, that last. We're trying to do things that last. I mean, that's really the short answer.
Yeah, and you know, it's beyond you know, just general policy, and it's hardwired into the governing documents of the city, if you will. So city council actually adopts it. They create an interlocal agreement with the county. There are mechanisms that put it in place that would make it very hard to unwind.
And what you hope is, you know, as the deputy mayor said, when you're investing in people and not just things, I mean, you hope those people continue long after we're not here to advocate for that, to whoever's sitting in the mayor's office after us and after that guy too.
Right.
But to the important end of your question, we want it to evolve and reflect the evolution of the city. And so it's not so much an attempt to create a static plan that doesn't change over the course of 30 years, but more so that the studies have been done to say that is the horizon of time by which the change we're seeking will happen. And this is a broad overview, and the details will be filled in as time goes along. You know, there's no way to project the day-to-day needs of this city in 15 years. That will be entrusted to the person who's in charge at that time, the people who sit on that dais at that time. Mm-hmm. But we've created the pathway that prescribes what needs to happen.
Because there's only so much government can do, too. It has to be partly the citizens, too, that are willing to carry on the plan.
Well, that's a really important point. It's partly why we've started where we have. So Kevin mentioned earlier that we are in the midst of a celebration of our first round of grants from that tax increment financing that I spoke to you about. So we've given out nearly $500,000. Is that right, guys? For about $468,000.
That's right.
$468,000 to local businesses to catalyze and incentivize the private sector along the corridors in this area that we're talking about, so that they can be empowered and strengthen and spur the market to sustainable change.
These grants that the businesses got, what does the money go to?
So they're matching grants, you know, again, to incentivize that investment on their end as well. And it goes to what they need. You know, they applied and talked about. The idea is to do some corridor enhancement and redevelopment, aesthetics, to make the corridor look healthy and vibrant and reflect the vibrancy of the business that transacts there. So it's everything from, you know, landscaping and painting to windows, things that will, again, make the corridor look like a vibrant place of business.
So there was only 6 businesses chosen for these grants. How many applications did you receive?
No, there were far more than 6 businesses. I think that you may be looking at, which was a very cool thing, people should go online and check out the pictures for themselves. Those were businesses that we went to that where the mayor announced that these grants happened. Okay. We stopped at six local businesses.
Business tour.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. This is the Dolores M. Smith Academy.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Those are some people that with whom we visited, but a couple dozen.
Almost three dozen. It was about 38.
38 businesses dozen. Actually received grants.
And how many applications did you receive?
In the 40s.
Oh, okay, so most people got them then. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is an inclusive process designed to, A, encourage people to apply, B, help them every step along the way to be eligible, and then C, as many people who are eligible as possible, give them the grant. There's nothing exclusive about this. You know, there's no trick. We are like, let's give away as much money as we can to reach these goals as efficiently and efficaciously as we can.
And this is not only businesses that are involved, but also some residential.
So there are three focuses of the South St. Pete CRA plan as it relates to granting this money. The one we're talking about is corridor redevelopment, but there's also housing and neighborhood redevelopment, and there's workforce development. And those three areas of focus are informed by the social determinants of the poverty that define that area. And the plan, there is actually a 107-page community redevelopment plan that governs this entire process. And it talks about those three indicators and what we can do to move the needle. So everything we're doing is following a very scientific and strategic process as it relates to social science.
And this is all on stpete.org, correct? You can find all that information
yes,
on there?
Yes, absolutely.
So what if people who want to do the residential grants, how do they apply for that?
So that is actually in development right now. Our Director of Urban Affairs, Nikki Capehart, and our Neighborhood Affairs Administrator, Mike Dove, are putting the finishing touches on that with the Administrator of the CRA plan, Rick Smith, to come up with the parameters for the application. There are three pots. The one that we dealt with first, the one that was ready first, is this commercial corridor. The other two will follow shortly.
And also, Will, this is a very public process. We encourage people to go to, you mentioned stpete.org/CRA. There's lots of public outreach. There's public meetings that people can attend. There's a citizen advisory committee that reviews staff recommendations before going to city council. Public is invited to that as well. Lots of opportunities to get engaged.
So this first year, there's about 800,000 in the budget. And
you know, we were excited because our numbers actually, our property values raised in a way that we actually outperformed our initial assessments. So we'll give away at least that much. Property values in South St. Pete had a notable climb this year, and we were very excited about that. Things are definitely on the upswing there. Lots of new business interest, lots of neighborhood interest. So it's a good time for South St. Pete. We just have to kind of capture the momentum and keep it going.
What's the plan for future years? I know that the budget is going to continue to grow for these programs.
It will continue to grow. So we estimate that the CRA will generate about $3.5 million in total project cost. To about 27 construction jobs in the first short-term window of it. And that'll be split in various ratios year to year. That community advisory group that Kevin spoke about, they sit down with our city staff to determine how much of that money will go to each of those three areas. Some years it'll be a huge focus on workforce development, and we'll be putting all of that money into human capital. Sometimes we'll be putting all of that money into infrastructure and physical capital. It just really depends on, you know, what the need is and what the community's ready for at that time.
How are we sure that this money is going to be spent correctly? Meaning someone applies for a grant, gets this cash, how are we going to make sure it gets spent and what it's going to be said to be spent for?
They do have to produce documentation to the city, or receipts, for example, if they're getting something fixed on the exterior of their business. So there is a follow-up, and there's a you know, we're building relationships with all these businesses that are going to last. But there is accountability on our end and on the community's end.
There's definite accountability, and it's a matching grant, so it follows the investment that they make.
Okay, so these things are already done, and it's based off
we're about to be.
Gotcha.
Are done or about to be, and then people are reimbursed.
Do you find this interesting, Will?
Yeah, I'm trying to keep up here. I got this stuff last minute, so I'm trying to...
You're cramming?
I'm cramming as we're doing this right now.
It's complicated.
Well, see, this is the thing, though, right? So I am so glad that you aren't, like, wonky about this or all deep into it, because most people probably aren't. But we want it to be relevant to most people, right? So I want somebody who's sitting at home, who hasn't really thought about this, to know enough and hear enough from what we're saying to feel like it's relevant and they can benefit or understand the benefit, even if it's not direct to them. So we should just talk about things as they come up to you. I mean, what do you want to know about this? What, you know, let's just talk about it.
Right. Well, I guess my first question would be like, how did it even come about? What was the...
That's a good question. So it's back to that poverty study, and, you know, the people who really care about this city and have for a very long time banging their heads against the wall saying, what is it going to take to change the story? You know, what is it going to take to change this for people? One of the unintended consequences of the very necessary move of integration was a booming commerce in the African American community couldn't compete on a larger scale, and left a huge legacy of blight where business once boomed that never quite recovered. This isn't unique to St. Pete. You know, it's a condition and a phenomena that you will see throughout the South in the United States. And so there's been a lot of work done over the decades to try to figure out how to really be a catalyst for commerce in the Black community in a way that is self-perpetuating and sustainable.
City Hall used to take public money and do public things on these corridors, streetscaping and placemaking, in the hopes that private money would follow the public money. That didn't always transpire, and so it's kind of why we're at the point we're at now. We're rethinking that model and making public investments into private sector, as well as doing all the stuff you have to do to keep the area looking good. And there's a total place for placemaking, right? We're doing it in the Skyway Marina District right now. People like signage, they like palm trees, they like streetscaping, nice lights. We've done that in other parts of town. But if you don't do the hard work, the heavy lift, the business is not going to come. You're just going to have an area that's slightly nicer than it was.
Right. Well, why isn't that working in the South Side? What's the main catalyst there? That, I mean, you put signage up, you encourage businesses to come there. Why aren't businesses opening there?
Well, if you have pretty places or business amenities, but the people who live there, who count on it, can't afford to use them, mm-hmm. then it's a movie set, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Then it's just a hollow shell. We have to really empower the people who occupy these places to be able to self-sustain and self-perpetuate their own success. And that has everything to do with our education system, that has everything to do with quality of housing, our transportation system, diversity of experience. People who come from there and do find their way out, making the area a magnet where they would consider coming back. So it's really multifaceted. It takes a lot, but it certainly takes more, we figured out, than paying attention to what the places look like alone.
Right. So, I mean, we want to encourage businesses to open on the South Side. That's going to bring jobs. That's going to bring prosperity. Are there any incentives for businesses to open on the South Side?
There are, and it's important as we talk about the CRA. I mean, we're celebrating right now because we did this first round of grants. But that's one piece of a really multifaceted plan to redevelop South St. Petersburg and create a seamless community. So we have a commerce park where we are creating 65 jobs with great businesses that are coming in and deciding to invest. We have businesses that already have opened there that our economic development department works very closely with to try to incubate them, first stage businesses, try to incubate them into the next stage, create, get some credit investors to come along, make sure they have the capital they need to make their business work. And diversity of the activity that happens there is making a huge difference. The Warehouse Arts District is set up right on that corridor. $3 Brewing is set up on that corridor, and it's making a huge difference. Brocont Market, so people have a reason to come there. Not only the people who live there every day, but people who live in other parts of the city are coming there, spending their money, spending their time, becoming invested and caring. And that's really what it takes. That's what makes a difference in downtown. That's what makes a difference in any part of our city that thrives.
One of the things that concerns me, I love St. Pete. I love living here. It's getting more expensive to live down here. Gentrification of the area. Luckily, I got really lucky with my apartment, and hopefully it'll stay that way, fingers crossed. But if I didn't have this luck, I wouldn't be able to live here. Is there any plans for affordable housing here in St. Pete?
Yes. First is, you know, we want people going to the opportunity creation theme is we want everyone hopefully to be able to live in where they want in the city. But the mayor is really intent on making affordable housing a part of the conversation whenever we have control. We just did this on 22nd Street South. We had all this land across from the Manhattan Casino. That we made sure that, and it's going to be developed, there's mixed use going in there, there's light industrial. We made sure that the residences going in there, I guess it'll be apartments, have a workforce rate, basically. So not just market rate, but really where the people that are working there are able to live there. So wherever the city has a voice, and a lot of times we don't, it's private land being turned over to private property. It's going to happen on the 400 block of Central Avenue. We don't have a whole lot of say there, but wherever we do, we're trying to make a difference. And the Tropicana Field redevelopment is another perfect example where the southern end of that abuts Campbell Park. We want to make sure that residents that are there, that they can live on that property.
And, you know, not all of us will be able to live in downtown St. Pete. So one of the other big things that the city is working hard to do is to shine a light on the other awesome areas of our city, many corners of our community that include affordable housing options that may not be in the heart of downtown, but are very charming, lovely neighborhoods. And so we're working hard to make sure people understand those options. Skyway Marina District, for example, you know, waterfront area that is very cool, has an awesome maritime culture that's pretty steeped in kind of a naturalist tradition. It's a really awesome place to live that just a lot of people don't know about. West St. Pete, equally cool. Some very cool things happening in North St. Pete as well. So we want to make sure that our city understands how to take advantage of every opportunity here, and that, you know, as important as having affordable housing throughout the city is having transportation where people can get to and from work easily and you live in the southernmost edge of the city and work in downtown.
So downtown is it's everyone's living room. It's not everyone's bedroom, right?
Right.
But we want people, that's why we're doing bus rapid transit on First Avenues North and South. Get to the west side of downtown in 10 minutes, 5 minutes. You know, South Pinellas Point, where I live.
Yeah.
Ben, who lives in the suburbs of St. Pete and Gulfport.
And we're so lucky. We have so many young people coming to St. Pete.
We have.
Yeah. He's going to move.
I am.
Come on, Ben. It's ridiculous.
Soon enough.
Well, we love Gulfport. We'd love to, you know, I won't say that. We love Gulfport.
We love all of our neighbors.
Gulfport's great. They got that little, I ride my bike down there all the time.
Wow. Yeah.
Trail.
Yeah.
Just get there really easy. Go eat lunch down there.
It's an awesome town. A great vibe. Good food.
Yeah.
That little main strip down there.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
We're fortunate to have good neighbors.
Yeah. So, I mean, I understand, you know, the artist kind of, I think Scott Harrell from Creative Loafing wrote a piece last year about how he was afraid that these artists that kind of made this city into what it is becoming are now going to get pushed out because they're not going to be able to afford to live here anymore. But I guess that's one of those things where you can't do anything about that. I mean, the market is what it is.
Well, I think, a little bit, not to be judgmental, but it's kind of a perspective of scarcity as opposed to a perspective of abundance. Mm-hmm. You know, this is a great city teeming with resources. There is enough here, sincerely, for all of us. If you talk to other communities, there are people worried that the artists are pushing them out, you know? So everybody is a little bit worried about who's coming behind them, but there's really enough for all of us. And we are super mindful of that, trying to be strategic about it. We have a Grow Smarter Economic Development strategy that targets five sectors, business and economic sectors for growth. Creative arts and design is right at the top. We are really intent in this administration to position arts as an economic driver and engine, doing things to convert awareness and experience of the arts here in St. Pete, to cultivating curation and collection, so that we can make sure that the artists who have created such a rich culture and texture always have a place here that is very relevant as it relates to economics. But, you know, really, there's I don't think, any reason for anyone who lives here to worry about being squeezed out of the opportunities that exist for St. Pete. I think we'll be most effective if we all really focus our energy on how we can contribute to creating more and more opportunity for each other.
Right on.
We've said it all.
What time is it?
It's about time.
Yeah, it's about time.
All right, well, let's wrap it up then.
We've said it all, Dr. Tomlin.
Said it all.
Thank you very much for coming in today. I hope this was a joy.
It was a joy.
I feel like I learned a lot today. I always do.
I am so glad that you're doing this, because we got to talk about St. Pete, man.
I hear you.
People need to know more, don't they?
Absolutely.
We all think we know it all, but we all can learn a little bit more.
Especially Kevin.
We all learned something today.
No, I'm going to tell you something.
Kevin knows it all.
Blows me away.
Yeah. All right. Thank you all. Appreciate it.
Said that on the air, Dr. Tomlin.
Ben?
Closing statements, anyone?
I'm never hear the end of it.
Ben, close it out.
No, I'm good. We're good. Thank you, Will. Thank you, Dr. Tomlin.
We'll see you next time.
See you next time.
I hope you ask me back again.
Absolutely.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Will.
Thanks for listening to Radio St. Pete's City Hall broadcast, an informal look inside your city government. This is Mayor Rick Kreisman inviting you to join us next time for the City Hall broadcast.